Today, I am joined by Nicholas Babin, and we are here to talk about AI's role in optimizing life, job creation, trends, and more. Is AI the job killer or the job creator of the future? And we are here also to talk about how AI is reshaping the job market, your life, and everything really that you see right now, and what's happening in the world is actually quite amazing. And what you can do with AI to make your life better, to do all sorts of things, is actually fascinating. And I'm joined by Nicholas Babin here, who is a technology expert. He was actually head of AI and robotics for Sony Europe. And he's written a book called The Talking Dog. And if you don't know who he is, he's also an EU digital ambassador. He does lots of work with lots and lots of the big, big tech companies. And he's joining me from some sort of hotel room somewhere, because he's been sent on a mission. Oh, you're in Strasbourg. Oh, it's a shame. I was there the other day, Nicholas. I could have dropped by if I'd have timed things a bit better. But it's lovely to see you, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation. It's always insightful as usual, and it's great. So what do you think, Nicholas? Do you think that the AI is improving our lives in work and play, or what's the situation?
Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schuller.
In that for you,
I think improving, we'll see in some years or some months, but at least it's definitely changing our lives. If you apply for a job today, you know that HR department, at least most HR departments, will start using algorithms, AI-based algorithms, that will help them save time, because AI is just a tool. It's a human augmented tool. This was my story since 1996. So I'm not going to change that one. And basically what it does, it helps people be more productive, or productive differently, in the sense that all the mundane aspect of your job can be handled by an algorithm. And that's what's happening also with HR. So, for example, when they receive thousands of resumes or CVs, they can filter, they can sort it, they can sort them, using the algorithm. But they also, they can ensure that at least their requirements are met based on the parameters they'll put on the algorithm. So that's why, as a candidate, you definitely need to be aware of that, so at least you can optimize this in order to be successful in your job hunt. And what I'm saying is it's changing jobs, it's changing the way you approach jobs, but it also it's optimizing it in the sense that you can use AI-based algorithms, like most of the time what we call LLMs, large language models, to help you ensure that you're fit for the right job. You know, when I was younger and I would apply for a job, I would send hundreds of CVs, hundreds of letters. And as I said many times, I would spray and pray that maybe once I would be called for a job interview. Whereas now, what you can say is you take the job requirements and the what the company publishes, you put it into your LLM type of tool, and you say, based on my CV or based on the experience, based on what you know about me, do you think I'm qualified for this job? And then the LLM will say yes or no, and it will give you substantial reasons, like, yes, in order to meet the international angle requirement, you're very well qualified for that. However, you haven't done as much SEO work that it's required, whatever, you know what. So it's, again, having like a mentor over your shoulder 24/7 saying, do you think I can apply for this job? So on your side, it's really a positive on the side of the candidate. It's very positive, because you can argue with your LLM and say, What do you think? Well, actually, I don't really agree because I've done a lot of SEOs. If I take my example in such and such circumstance, you know, with this type of environment, and then you can have a conversation with your LLM tool. On the HR side, it's also all the mundane work of like reading hundreds of thousands of CVs. At Sony, we used to have thousands of applications, you know, and that's it would take forever to answer them all. And sometimes you'll be tired. Sometimes you'll be upset because something has happened in your private life, blah, blah, blah. So you wouldn't be completely objective. Whereas here you have an algorithm and it's a double-edged sword on this one, because on one side, the algorithm will be based on keywords, will be based on experiences and everything, but it won't, you know, move away from that. Whereas with a human brain, when you see, for example, again, in my example, he's done some SEO in that capacity, but it's true that I'm looking more for this capacity. Then, you know,
so I've got to stop you there. So yeah. When you're talking about SEO, you're talking about keyword optimizing,
exactly,
a CV and a cover.
But it's just an example.
But you're talking about it matching the requirement of the job, which is correct. which is then fed through the AI. So the AI has a number of keywords that have been tweaked in yep. order to accept or decline specific job applications from people based upon the words that they have put in their correct. Keywords in their CV and also or resume and their covering letter or email, right?
Yeah, so that's correct.
And then it will decline them or accept them based upon a correct match. So like it will just do this or do that, right?
Well, we're talking about zero and one.
Explain that.
Yeah, you're
because
absolutely
right.
I
know we're in, you know, we know about marketing, but not a lot of people get the sort of term SEO. They're like, what the hell is SEO? Yeah.
Search engine optimization, where basically we had to translate, and we did that at Sony back in 1996 when I first started with AIBO, the first AI-based robot. You know, everything had to be translated to zero and one. So that's how it works today. An algorithm is based on zero and one. Obviously, we're not talking about quantum computing anymore at this stage. Right. Whereas, you know, it will be zero and one and zero or one. Mm-hmm. It's very different. Here, we're talking about zero and one. I mean, these are basically the zero or one, sorry. And so SEO, does it match? Doesn't match. So then, but based on that, you can, you know, program your algorithm and give it a little bit of tweaks and make sure that at least, well, okay, maybe it doesn't have that keyword, but it has this one, this one, this one, this one. And then, you know, make a wiser choice based on the different parameters that you will put into your algorithm. Basically what I'm saying here is that the AI will give you some suggestions based on the thousands of CVs that the AI will have looked through. At the end of the day, it's the HR professional that needs to make a decision. So, you know, once you receive your 1,000 CVs, then AI will only keep like maybe 100 out of thousands. Then you need to look at the 100 and make sure at least all of them fit exactly what you're looking for, because sometimes there will be mistakes, and sometimes also you'll realize that there will be some data that has been biased. And that's what's really right. important is even if, you know, the fact that the data is biased was not done on purpose, it's important to realize that it could be there. So AI is definitely changing the way we look for a job, the way you looked for a position. And it's important to understand because, you know, if again, 1,000 CVs, if 999 are using AI and you're the only one not using AI, you pretty much have no chance of getting that job. And that's what's important here.
Right. So over and above that, you can also turn to the AI language model, such mm-hmm. as Gemini, such as ChatGPT and whatever else, whatever language
Claude,
model you're using.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Claude. Yeah, I don't use Claude. I haven't played with that. But you can or you can use Grok or whatever it is.
Yeah, of course.
And
you can
basically talk to it as it was a career coach. And you can say, look, I want to apply for such and such a job. And if it turns to you and says, well, no, your experience doesn't fit that job, and you really want to pursue that job and that direction within your career because you see that it is going to take you to where you want to be, then actually you can get coaching from the AI model, which will say to you, okay, John or Marjorie, you need to study this course, that course, that course, or you need to get into this small company because the experience you're going to get within that size company will actually give you the experience that you need to get into the job in a bigger company down the line, right? Mm-hmm. So it's actually quite exciting because, you know, a few years ago, there were all these ideas of creating this model of, well, I'm going to create a program that is going to do exactly that. But yep. It's like now you don't need to create a program because any program that you want can be just created by you within 3 minutes. You can sit there and you can go to a language model and you can give it all the information by uploading a document, which is your CV, and tell it what you want it to help you with.
Absolutely.
And then it will coach you. And I just think it's amazing. I mean, look, in terms of like real life applications, I mean, we were talking a little bit about what I was doing here because I just moved to a house, right? And moved to a new house. And I went outside and I saw these vines. I inherited these vines, which I don't think they've been pruned for like 5 years, right? And I hadn't pruned a vine literally probably for 10 years. And I studied this at college, and I know you know a lot about oenology and viticulture as well, obviously being in Bordeaux, clearly, and being involved with that as well over the years. And so I approached it, and I was like, oh, no. And I pruned these vines literally to within an inch of their lives. I mean, literally, they were so overgrown that I was, yeah. I mean, you're talking one of them was 15 feet wide. It was. And I literally had to think really carefully about what I was going to cut from these vines. So in the end, I pruned them all, tied them all down and all of this, and then went away for 10 days, came back, and I noticed this sort of discoloration and small bobbles on the leaves. And I was like, oh, no, I've got a disease. I've got a vine disease. What am I going to do? So first of all, I did a Google image search. And then the Google image search, it just wasn't really very relevant. Like, and if you don't know about a Google image search, it's when you take a picture, you upload it to Google search, and then it gives you results. Yeah. But I did that and I was just like, it didn't really give me anything that was relevant. So then I was like, okay, how am I going to use Gemini? So I took the image, I uploaded it to Gemini, and I said, can you help me? I've got a problem. What do I do? And it said, you need to spray with sulfur, but because it's now at the end of April, you're not going to be able to get rid of this. You, and if they're old vines, it's going to be okay. And I was like, okay, fine. So I need to definitely get some sulfur. I need to get a spraying outfit. I need to put all the gear on and the goggles and whatever to spray these vines. So, that's what I'm going to do. But it's just so amazing. And you can use that for anything that you can possibly think of. For example, yeah. I inherited like some sort of tools in the basement. And I was like, and I found this pump and I was like, well, whatever. It looked like a pump. And I was like, what is this? So I went out there and I took a picture and uploaded it. And it gave me the model. It told me what it was for. And there's any problem that you face within your DIY nightmares or perhaps not nightmares, you can use it for that. Yep. But what excites you, Nicholas, about this right now and how you can use these things?
Frankly, it's the human augmented angle. Whatever your passion, whatever your queries, you know, we used to have internet, and as you said, now it's not as relevant. Yeah, you still use internet, obviously, because you still will do some searches and things like that. But frankly, when you have access to an LLM tool for anything in your life, it's like having somebody who knows about pretty much everything over your shoulder 24/7. And it's fantastic, you know. I don't advise using it for health or legal. Legal can give you at least some options, but, you know, use professionals for that. But again, gardening, fantastic. The other day I had a problem with my lawnmower. My lawnmower was blinking, and I could not understand, and it was not starting. So I took a picture of the blinking, loaded it onto ChatGPT this time and say, what's wrong? And he said, oh, you have a problem with your the thing that cuts. I can't remember the technical, it was the motor of the blade, actually. Yeah. And he said, well, here's what you need to do. Unscrew the blade, do that and that, and then put it back. Be very careful that you tied it very well, blah, blah, blah. So I did everything it asked me to do, and it worked. Yeah. So it's like the same thing. My grass was a little bit yellow and I had been watering it. So I said, what should I do? I said, oh, it's basically because you water it too much. I advise you to use talc. So I was really surprised. So I put a bit of talc, and in 2 days, the yellow disappeared.
You put talc and powder on the lawn?
Yep.
Wow.
It's and because it apparently the lawn was too acid, and the talc brought back the pH to normal.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. What excites me the most, I mean, what I really enjoyed when I saw the first time Aibo, to be frank with you, we had a vision. And I'm going to share that, and nobody else knows about it. But we had a vision about Aibo being so artificial intelligent robot, AIBO, but also in Japanese means companion. And that companionship was exactly what I'm talking about human augmented. You would come home, and we had that in our labs. We never came out with it as a product. But you would come home and you say, hi, Aibo, how was your day? Aibo had been alone in the apartment, had taken pictures and looked around and everything all day long. And he would say, oh, you had, and at the time we didn't have cell phone, 96, I remember, I remind everybody. So Aibo would say, oh, your phone rang 3 times. I took 2 messages. Do you want me to read them to you? We had Aibo, and that we put it as a product, where Aibo read your emails. So if somebody wants to look at my YouTube, you'll have a BBC. I was interviewed by the BBC Breakfast when we launched that one. And, the RS220, and I explained basically how Aibo would read emails with emotions. So Aibo would say, good morning, Nicholas, and he will bow like the Japanese will do. And he would read you the whole email, and he says, best regards. That was seriously 96. We had that in 1996. Can you imagine 29 years ago? Unbelievable. And that's what excites me about it. You know, I'm sorry, I'm very passionate because it's something I've been, it's part of my life for 29 years now.
Yeah.
And so that's what excites me, is that human augmented angle where you have somebody's watching over your shoulder. I'm repeating myself here, but that's exactly what it is. And telling you advice that at the end, you need to decide whether or not you're going to follow, right? You are at the center of the decision. The decision belongs to you, and that's what's important. So when I hear people say, yeah, but AI is going to replace me, or AI is going to replace jobs, potentially, of course, definitely, but it will create new opportunities. It's, again, you know, our great-grandparents, when they moved from horse mobility to cars, people were taking care of horses, they had to change jobs and they had to become mechanics, right? And it's true that the job disappeared. And today we have very, very few people who take care of horses, except in stables, you know, that for the public. And it's exactly the same thing. It's the same when you had steam and we replaced steam with electricity. So we live in a world that is evolving. What's scary today is the fact that it's evolving faster than it has ever evolved before. Because we have the convergence of all these new technologies that allow us to have an LLM model. But it's not only about LLM, it's 1% of AI. You know, if you're in healthcare and a healthcare professional, AI helps you to find out about tumors that the human eye can't see. So if you're, in imagery, for example, so scanner, all these type of x-rays and things like that, AI will help you say, oh, hang on, here I can see based on my billions of data that I've learned from, I can see that there's a tumor, whereas the humans won't see it. So again, the doctors will have to make a decision. Do I do something because it's so small that maybe, you know, it's there's no need, but based on what I've learned, maybe I need to do something. So again, the doctor will be in charge, but you as a patient, you have a fantastic opportunity to survive whatever is coming your way because it's taken so early on. Right. And that's what's so passionate about. I'm so passionate about AI and how it has transformed my life in the last 29 years, because it's true that I've had an iBow. I have three iBows actually at home, pretty much constantly on. Even though now it's a bit, you know, has been in the sense that LLMs were not part of iBow back in 1996. Of course, we didn't have that, so we had to teach iBow 100 sentences, and iBow, you know, will respond based on the sentences you've taught him. But you know, even with that, the fact that it's old and it's so much fun to have a companion that learns from you and learns about your personality and will personalize your experience with it. And that's exactly what AI is doing today. It's personalizing healthcare, it's personalizing legal, it's personalizing gardening, it's personalizing content creation. It's everything. You think about something, that's it, everything.
That's what happens to me. Is that, I mean, I literally get a bit overwhelmed because if I get interested in a topic, right, I'm a bit geeky and I have to just find out about this topic. Like I want to just learn everything I can really quickly. And then so that I take a picture of something, I mean, I was worried I had like a deadly nightshade bush. Yeah, I don't have. It's actually some sort of creeper. But I thought it was deadly nightshade. And then I used a Google image search, and it's not deadly nightshade, it's ivy, but it's still poisonous, and if you get it on your skin it's really bad for you. Right, and then you work out, and then you have a conversation with Gemini or ChatGPT, whatever, and you say, well, how do I do blah blah blah, how do I get rid of it? And then you're like, oh, okay, so you cut it down, you drill a hole in it, you put some poison in it, and then it dies from the roots. And that's the most efficient way to get rid of this plant, which is a pain, yeah? Because the berries get everywhere and it's a frigging mess, yeah? And if you want to have lettuce or whatever, grow some veggies, it gets in the veggies, yeah? The berries. And you don't want to risk children eating these berries as well, right? So, but it's just... And then there are all these decisions that we have to make. And that's what I find fantastic, is we're making decisions not based upon emotions anymore, not as much. We're actually becoming a lot more analytical in the way that we make decisions, because we have access to this data that is explained to us in a way that actually is easy to understand. And that's what excites me about it. I'm literally every day I use these models every day just to basically complete tasks better, faster, you know. But I don't just let it go wild. Like some people will just write a blog, or they'll create, you know, some sort of social post, and they won't edit anything. And this is where the problem lies, because it will dumb your brain. It will reduce your mental capacity to actually do things. And this is a big, big problem. But complacency, laziness, did that anyway. It's just amplifying it and making it faster, so people are just going to become dumber quicker, right? Which is not a bad thing for some people, I think.
No comment.
but it's truly exciting how these jobs are evolving, and how remote working, like the digital nomad kind of possibilities, you know, if you get your tech in order, access to the internet is in order, you can take a nice laptop, you can go to Thailand, you go to, you know, Bali or one of these places, and you can sit there on your laptop and you can do some work, meet kind of lots of other digital nomads and chat about life and whatever else, and you can kind of work from home in a way, because home is kind of where you are, isn't it, these days?
And that's the convergence of all these technologies that have been coming out, you know, for years and years and years. So when I hear people talking about revolution, it's not a revolution at all. It's an evolution of the technology. You know, like Skype was the first one we saw back in 2004, 2005, I think, when it came out. Well, you know, it's what we do today with StreamYard and everything. It's an evolution of Skype. Right, Skype doesn't even exist anymore, because now they use Teams on Microsoft. But that's the evolution, and that's, you know. But now we also have AI that can do a summary of our conversation, and then you can use it. So you have meetings from all over the world. You have people in the US, people in Australia, people in Japan, people in Europe. You have a conference. At the end of the conference, within 5 minutes, you have your whole summary done that you can share with everyone. This is what we agreed on. You know, before, it would take like a week to get that done because you would have somebody doing it and everything. But that person who used to do this summary, basically what now it can do, that person can do something more interesting, because that's pretty much a very mundane task to write notes, right? So it can do something more interesting, can do something with more value to the company. And all these mundane tasks can be taken care of by the technology, and that's why it's so fantastic. So, you know, going back to your question, you know, what excites me the most is pretty much everything.
Yeah, well, I'm exactly the same. I just see the world transforming, but you know, over here in Eastern Europe, apparently there are lots and lots of startups from this part of the world, from what I hear.
Yes,
my
absolutely.
Brother is. My brother was involved with something in England. He's involved with some startup incubator or something or other. And they invited him to kind of, you know, analyze the startups and tell them what he thought was the best one. You know, the kind of stuff you've been doing as well, right?
Due diligence.
Yeah. And he said there are so many. And actually, I think that these areas have a lot of potential because there are a number of people here. I think that the languages are very hard to learn, and actually the local dialects are very difficult for the language models to get right. And I think over the coming years, it will get those right, obviously,
because
these things happen. But it's really a world of opportunity right now. And, you know, I see so much potential as well in Africa, in India, a lot of these places like us in the West, like we just ignore because we just don't think about them that much. Right.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, we have a lot of people with very, very high ethics within these countries who are working very, very hard to create software that is actually world class. Right. It's actually world class. And, you know, having this global kind of potential is something that is just fantastic. But still, a lot of people don't think like that within these smaller markets. They think very locally because they're all the people that they hang out with have local jobs. They don't have global kind of jobs, right? And I find that quite interesting, but it's also quite worrying because they are really missing the opportunities, I think.
But we need people local and we need people global, so it's actually a great mix.
That's a good way to look at it. That's a good way to look at it. Well, Nicholas, it's always super to speak with you.
Thank you very much.
Always fantastic. And if you are listening to this and you want to know more about what we're doing at Monday Influencer, go to mondayinfluencer.com and check out the page there. That's giving you a bit of insight into what we're doing there. And do subscribe to that. It contains so much amazing content from people like Nicholas, Stephen J. Manning, and all the amazing interviews that we've done over the years, which we sort of drip feed you every week. And it's
highly recommended.
Thank you, Nicholas. Thank you so much. And thanks everyone for listening.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.